This is the October 1st meeting of the PNB Strategic Planning Working Group. I'm the chair, George Reiter. I circulated an agenda a little while earlier, not very much earlier. It has three items on it, all of which are in addition to what we've already worked on so far. One is John's suggestion for, actually the necessity for having a national news service, national progressive news service. I think we need to revisit the question of underwriting. Again, that was John's suggestion, John Proffitt, that is, R.E.D. And then there was the questions of publicity that had been raised, I think it was by Steve Brown in an email, but surely one of the things we need to think about is how do we increase our listenership? And other ways to do it other than the ones we've been talking about so far, which was using special events. So the first item on the agenda was going to be my report. I actually got contact information for five of the people that we had suggested for the advisory committee. And okay, who's that? Was that Jim?
This is Jim Brown, just coming in.
Good.
Sorry I'm so late, but I had a meeting down at PFW.
We're glad you're here. I'm glad you're here, for sure. I only sent it out yesterday. I've only got one response, and she was interested but couldn't, too busy to do it at the moment. I'll pursue that, trying to get more contact information. And
okay. Point of information, George?
Yes.
Can we state who are in the call?
You know, I don't know. John, what do you think about that?
I think it should be a secret council. Just joking.
On the stream.
I mean, it's certainly not going to be secret when we put it together, but in terms of people we've asked and what their response was, I guess I feel it was I don't think I said I don't feel it's appropriate, so I don't want to do that.
I'm talking about the people that are in this call, in this planning group.
What was your question about that?
She wants us to say who we are so people who are listening know who's
in the call. Yeah, that's right. We don't have a quorum, so I wasn't taking roll. But let's go around and do that. So, Adriana, perhaps you could begin.
Okay, Adriana Kasnay.
Okay.
This is Margie Wilkinson from KPFA.
John Proffitt here.
Jim Brown.
Tony Norman, WPSW.
And who is that just joined?
Ben Eagle.
Great. So we were just identifying ourselves. Ben, you have to say your whole name and what station you're from, just for the stream.
Oh, I'm sorry. Benito from PFW, D.C.
Okay.
Indiana, KPFT.
And I'm George Reiter from KPFT.
Who else is on?
What's that?
Who else is on the call?
Let's see. John Proffitt, Adriana Casanave, Margie Wilson, Jim Brown, and Tony Norman.
Okay.
So the agenda items I put up were, again, all sort of additions to what we've been working on. The first one was John's suggestion for the necessity to have a rather serious national news, progressive national news, as a kind of a headliner for Pacifica, if I've got that right.
If I might, George.
What's that?
If I might, I could make a. Do you want to make a comment right now about that?
I just wanted to say what the other things were and ask for anything else for the agenda, and then we'll go right back to that.
Okay. Well,
the next item.
What I wanted to mention was so rather important that the starting point of my comment was that the need is to reverse the decline in audience and actually figure a way to build audience for Pacifica Station. So, given that requirement. That's what produced my recommendation. You're just looking at a whole cloth.
Okay. The next item was I think we need to go back and revisit the question of underwriting and for who and how. Again, this was one of John's suggestions. And finally, the question about How do we make our existence more present to people? Publicity. What kind of publicity campaigns can we think of, sort of building into a strategic plan? Any other suggestions for the agenda?
Yeah.
George, I don't have a suggestion. This is Benito. I think I was absent from the last meeting.
Yeah.
And so you have here a chair's report and an ED report to start off with?
Yeah, I kind of gave the chair's report before you got on.
The ED doesn't really have a report per se, so.
I tried to contact 5 members that we were thinking of the advisory committee to recommend on what kind of special events to put on, and those are the only 5 whose contact information I had, and I only got back 1 response. I only sent it to them last night, so I don't feel too badly about that. She couldn't do it. She said she was interested, but maybe in the springtime she was too busy now. Anyway, that's the substance of my report. There's nothing else to it. Adriana, go ahead.
Yes. What happened to, I don't see any of the ideas that were brought before about centralizing accounting and about kind of rotation, national program directorship. What happened with those?
Well, all of that was in what I call draft-0, which I sent to all the PMB members. And I saw today's meeting is going on from there. That's work we've already done. What other elements are needed for a viable Pacifica going into the future? What else should we put in the strategic plan? So I'm just assuming that's there. And you all have copies of it. I can send that again if you like. But it's called draft-0.
Yes, please.
Okay. I don't hear any other suggestions for the agenda, so I'd like to give it over to John. John, I've got you down for an ED report. I didn't ask you if you wanted to do that, but would you sort of give us your sense of what's needed in the way of...
Sure.
One of them is certainly what we said earlier, which was National News Service.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whatever else you want to add.
I have one, George, I have one more question.
Yes.
What is meant by additions to the strategic plan? Because it makes me think that the strategic plan has already been written.
Additions mean additions to what we've already written.
Okay. To what you already sent out to the entire PMB.
That's right.
The thing you call 0.
That's right. Draft-0. That's right.
Okay.
I had a conversation with John, and he felt that it was insufficient, and so I thought we'd have a conversation about that. What else do we need to put into that? And the three items that I mentioned seem to me to be definitely worth discussing. Primarily came from John's comments. So I would like to turn it over to him and to sort of share with his sense of what needs to be added, basically. Particularly, yeah, so beginning with the a national news service and what that might look like. John, are you willing?
Yeah, I'm here. Let me back up for a second. The initial conversations by the committee about things that are necessary for the structural repair of Pacifica, I completely agree with. And I think first and foremost is the central, to clean up our business and financial mess, centralized and accountable finance and system with centralized reporting and centralized processing of the general ledger and things being posted to that. That's very critical. And as I pointed out to the Finance Committee, I think it was Tuesday, that's a central recommendation also from the 2013 management letter from Armanino, the auditors, pointing out that the very serious weaknesses that Pacifica has in this area. So that's, to try to fix our hemorrhaging and of money and unaccountability, that's really critical. I think for it's not so much a part of a strategic plan, because strategic planning tries to be to look forward in a positive fashion. And what we're talking about with the centralized accounting is kind of strategically repair work that needs to be carried out over the shortest period of time possible to make that the business part of Pacifica more businesslike and professional. But then the other recommendation about a national program director, I think, is a very good one. But the reason I told George that I thought there should be more there is, well, what does the program director do? What is the purpose of having someone in the national office addressing issues of programming? In my opinion, and from here on, I concede and postulate that the things I have to say will, by their very nature, be controversial, and that's okay. I don't mind them being controversial. I just want to put them out so people will think about them. So, national programming, the issue of the shrinking audiences and shrinking income from listener donors. Needs to be addressed first and foremost by the broad category of programming. Now, programming's two ways. Things you shouldn't do and things you should do. The shouldn't do is basically what we've been doing, i.e. increasing the amount of time spent on air fundraising, more and more days for less and less money, as we essentially drive listeners away through listener fatigue. So that's what we shouldn't be doing in terms of programming. Now, what we should be doing, we're doing those best practices in radio that that help build not only audience size, but audience loyalty, and the audience loyalty translates into their willingness to donate, to give contributions to Pacifica. And the number one technique that doesn't have content's not being addressed at this point, it's the actual the way that the national approach should look is pretty fairly simple. Your programming needs to be to target the high listening areas with consistency, so that people who tune into a certain station or a certain brand, in our case Pacifica, know that at a certain time they're going to hear what they want to hear. Now, what is it they want to hear? Well, again, there's plenty of research to back this up, and Pacifica is not unique and not special in any way with what people throughout the United States tune into their radios for. The first and foremost thing they tune in for is news and information. It doesn't mean to lessen the importance of music and entertainment, but it's quite secondary in terms of the building the loyalty across numerous stations, like in a network. We have a five-station network that broadcasts to five major, in the top major markets in the United States. So that's an enormous audience to be tapped. And the best way, again, in my opinion, to tap that audience is to have, in particular, as I recommended in my note to George, a vitally needed service, which is news and information from a progressive standpoint, very much consistent with what Pacifica does with programs like Democracy Now. But we need more like Democracy Now, and both in morning and afternoon drive time. Ideally, we should have a strip of programs in morning drive, which is roughly defined as 6 a.m. until 9 a.m., and then an afternoon drive, which is roughly construed as 4 p.m. to 6 or 7 p.m. Now, those times can vary slightly, but that's a rough description of what drive time means. And during that time, most people are in the majority of the radio listening audience are in their cars, and they're looking for basically an update on what's happened during the day. News, people who talk about the news in an intelligent fashion, that's a commentary, and things that that fit in with their, that appeal to their expectations from from a progressive organization like Pacifica. I mean, Democracy Now! Is it's an excellent example of what I'm talking about. But Democracy Now! Is one program, and it's, you know, not just enough by itself. So what I suggested in my note to George was that, knowing full well that this is a resource-hungry concept, is a return to what Pacifica had years ago, namely a Pacifica news service, which has a five-minute newscast on the hour, especially during morning drive and afternoon drive, that that reports the headline and the longer stories of the day, and then around that, the type of commentary from people that we already enjoy on Pacifica and others we could bring into the fold, again, that approach things from a very mission-friendly point of view to what Pacifica stands for. I call it progressive, is to be a shorthand for the type of program we're talking about. But if that can be done, again, acknowledging the fact it costs a lot of time and effort and money to put something like that together, then I think that the growth of the audience in Pacifica will follow directly from that. And as the audience grows in our major markets, this support for the stations, i.e. donations, will increase also. It's just almost like an equation that if x equals y, then y plus z is going to equal something else. If you have these components that research has shown time and time again that people are looking for, then you'll be able to build your audience and build donations. Now, that's kind of a long-winded way to describe what I'm talking about in terms of a national news and information service, Pacifica National News and Information Service, that targets morning and afternoon drive time and needs to be uniform at the five stations. This is, you know, part of what becomes controversial when the Pacifica decides, as a matter of policy, that there are certain programs that all five stations will carry and will carry live at the same time. That's just something that needs to be done. And whether it can be done or not, I leave that up to people who will follow me here to decide. But consistency and in that those time frames are very important. Now, resources. To do something like this, we need resources. And that's why I raised the usual third rail issue of underwriting. It's been described by several different sources and with descriptives like ethical underwriting or underwriting that conforms to the again to the mission and progressive stance of Pacifica organizations. other partners that we could have in the broadcast world that share our vision, share our philosophy and sentiments, and want to have you know, a partnership with Pacifica. And those would be the ideal type of organizations to be able to put into a situation where you know, we give them the promotional value of what they do in their communities, and in return receive compensation from them for that mutual support. This is more than just ethical underwriting, but it's also part of what George has been talking about in terms of having special events and partnering with different local organizations, the Green Party being an example, or the Peace and Justice Party in Houston, people that live, breathe, and think similarly to what we do in Pacifica, and to be able to involve them in hosting special events, bringing in guest speakers that we can record and use that recorded material as part of the stripped-in news and information service I've been describing. It's a you know, it's a almost like an interlocking puzzle where the different pieces fit together to make the greater thing possible. But I think that it's complicated, it's controversial, and there are a lot of different moving parts to it. But I think that you know, just basically doing what we've been doing makes no sense because it's failing. And tweaking it around the edges, and as I described to George, and not at all meaning to sound pejorative, because George's idea of the special events and doing things with community organizations makes a lot of sense, but it's not a long-term, it's not a sustaining source of support for Pacifica. But you need something that is predictable, it's regular, it's sustaining. And by, you know, by definition, special events are not sustaining. They happen here and there, but it's not something you can build as a use as a foundation for a major source of income for the network. And this, again, all in my opinion, and everyone's free to disagree with me on any of this, and I'm sure you will. But that's pretty much the I think is the executive summary of what I've been thinking of in terms of hoping to see Pacifica grow and prosper.
Adriana?
Yes. Anybody else? Questions, comments?
Jim Brown.
Okay. Anybody else? Me. I'll put me on the stack. Okay. Go ahead, Adriana.
Yeah.
Benito later. Yeah.
I'll put you ahead of me, Benito. Go ahead, Adriana.
Okay. About the national program directorship, what we were talking before, and I think that was a good idea. The idea wasn't anybody sitting at the national office trying to direct the orchestra from there. No, the idea was electing in a rotating basis from the five different program directors in the five different stations, they will rotate, and then will elect themselves who will be, during a short period of time, we didn't agree yet on the time, but in the rotating basis, they will, if you want, not only direct the programming in the five stations, but in the idea is that those directors are doing that, every director will be in permanent contact with the others, and they will be exchanging and seeing the needs and seeing what is good or not in the different stations and how can they collaborate together. I mean, that was the idea, not creating
right.
somebody sitting at the national office. It's a totally different idea. We already
okay.
are paying those guys their salaries.
I get that. And actually, that's happening right now. Every Thursday morning, 11 a.m., we have a leadership meeting that includes the general managers and the program directors of all five stations and the affiliates program and the archives who talk about exactly that, you know, what stations are doing in terms of programming, what sounds good to them, and what might sound good on shared with other stations. So that's actually happening now every week.
Yeah, but I think that the idea was something different, but that's okay. I mean,
It's a good suggestion. I think that having a rotating person is an excellent idea. I think I'm just taking it further and saying that person, there should be a policy and a decision on the part of Pacifica to grow the audiences through a standardized morning and afternoon drive time. All the rest of none of the other times on the stations would be affected. But if we do something like this were to be intended, for it to be successful, it needs to be on all the stations.
Yes. Well, that's why, I like the idea that you just gave us about the kind of something similar of what we have with Democracy Now, because it's true, it's the way to, and it's news for the people that really love Pacifica and the idea of Pacifica. I think that is an excellent idea. And like you said, that will be not only growing audiences, but need to be produced live, obviously, at the five stations at the same time. But you mentioned something about having some resistance to do that. But we need to remember that, it's up to the board to create the policy. The executive director to make understand the different stations, the idea. Once that they realize, because today I don't know that any station will say that they don't want to carry Democracy Now, because basically it's their main source. If like you said, we can produce something like that, I think that will be a win-win for everybody. Yeah, I
absolutely.
I
agree.
Okay, I'd like to get on to Jim.
Okay, well, first of all, John, I really think that you're going down a road that is going to really, if we can work it, can really improve the whole branding, the whole idea of what Pacifica is all about.
Yes,
the idea of having a national news service is fantastic, and how we work it out, I don't know what the actual configurations of it would be, but if it's something that has the capability of feeding information from anywhere in the world and presenting it to our audience, it would be the most fantastic thing we can ever do.
Absolutely,
because nobody's really doing that. For us, the other thing is, if we can find someone who has that national focus and that national interest, who could figure out how we could support this, mainly technically, because we have to, if we're going to do it, we have to be as great or better than. Any other station is doing news, so it means that our engineers or the engineers that we can pull together need to come up with a real forward-looking technical plan that will put us out there, so that we can be in the same that we can format ourselves so that we can talk to all five stations, but also produce the quality of sound and news that better than anyone else is doing it.
Sure, absolutely, Tony. And again, it's a very resource hungry idea.
Right.
There's no question about that. Now, Pacifica already has with AudioPort a distribution system that works very well, but it's what you put into the system, of course, that's important. And the weaknesses occur at the stations and their studio production equipment and their studio production techniques. But that's something that would have to be addressed in terms of training and personnel going forward. But actually distributing a program from Pacifica station to the other four stations or to the affiliates, we can do that through AudioPort right now.
Great. Those are my comments. I really like the idea, and I think. Yeah, if we plan it right, we can make it happen.
Well, we had it, you know, with the Free Speech Radio Network, which is today, is made up of ex-Pacifica newscasters. Back when the Pacifica National News existed, this was, you know, years ago, but, you know, it once was, that was the case. And, you know, as with so many things, it fell victim to, you know, conflict and infighting among Pacifica constituencies, and the people left. Sorry, that's a
right.
You know, an unfortunate fact.
Yeah, but, yeah. Okay.
Benito. Hello, Benito.
Yeah.
We can't hear you.
Yeah. I was muted. So, number one, I absolutely support the idea of a national news service. And just as you described, I don't. It's a miracle that we've gotten away without one, really. And I would agree that would help greatly in terms of branding Pacifica. And I don't think Democracy Now! Does that, frankly. We need
it's
something that
though,
is called
the
Pacifica News. You know.
I mean, Amy Goodman, she says she's wonderful. She almost never says a sentence on her program without mentioning Pacifica. From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now! That's the essence
exactly.
of good branding. But we have to have more. There needs to be more.
So, number two, I agree with the idea of partnering with other organizations, and we've been talking about that in this strategic planning, you know, work group. But we have to be, you know, like everything else, the devil's in the details. You have to be very careful in terms of defining what groups we are going to partner with. Number one, what does that mean? What does partnering mean? And, what does partnering mean?
I think when you say the devil's in the details, it's absolutely correct, Benito. It really is. Details are a bitch.
It's like when you mention particular parties in particular, I mean, you can mention any number of people's organizations, movements, and this and that, and it's not that controversial. And like you said, John, there's nothing wrong with controversy. But when we start saying that we would suggest that we would partner with this party or that party, now that becomes very, very touchy and sensitive. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it, but on the contrary, but we need to develop some kind of formula.
Yes.
That would be even Steven with groups, let's say, left of the Republican Party, I guess. I don't think that would be too controversial to say something like that. I'm not trying to suggest a formula right at the moment, but
right. But you're right.
Yeah.
It needs to be thought through really carefully and come up with a policy and a formula. You're absolutely correct.
And the same thing would apply to the underwriting. And now I, you know, have historically been against underwriting, but I've been, my position has been
shifting.
That's a good word. Shifting, kicking and screaming, but shifting. But but again, the question is, we have to be very clear and have a formula and a definition of what do we mean by ethical underwriting, if that's the word, or whatever the word is.
I'll chip in with my, I didn't include this in my notes to George, but I think one fairly, and I emphasize the word fairly, uncontroversial way to approach this is do this, maybe get stick our smallest toe in the water with something what is called name-only recognition, which we say that our partner, we thank our partners on Pacifica, and you give them simply the name of the organization. We never get into the lengthy descriptions that are which would be the absolute bane of listening to any NPR station, where underwriting's been blown into huge 30-second commercial messages, which is as bad as anything that could be thought about. It's a horrible, horrible idea. But, you know, the original, you go back to the, you know, 1960s, the original thought for public stations was that they would be, if they had somebody that gave them support, then they could mention the name of that person or that organization on the air. And we, you know, don't necessarily do it on Pacifica, but thanking individual donors, Mr. and Mrs. John Smith of Los Angeles just gave a major contribution during the fund drive to KPFK, and we want to thank Mary and Sam Smith or whatever. That's you know, typically what it helps reinforce the audience. It thanks them, which is very appropriate. It doesn't get you involved into opinions or lengthy messages or crap like that. Do the same thing with your partners. We thank XYZ Foundation for their support. Period. That's it. You don't get into the messaging and the all of the BS that makes NPR sound so horrible.
Well, that's very helpful, John. Yeah, that's very helpful. But the other side of it, and the bottom line is what formula, we have to develop a formula that determines which type of organization you would work with or you wouldn't.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I divide it in terms of, I think that people in general, let me back up a minute and just say this. I think that people in general make the mistake of equating underwriting, and I've been guilty of this just like everybody else, of equating underwriting with corporate underwriting.
Correct.
So
it doesn't have to be an
investment. Yeah. The distinction that needs to be made, and we've been having a conversation in our, you know, the LSB programming committee at PFW. And so, for instance, since we have a lot of music, so you have organizations that you work with and that you publicize events at their venue and this and that. You have other kind of organizations that not music, but contribute, I don't know, a band, you know, dinners, whatever, you know, barbecue beef, whatever.
Hey, Benito.
Yeah.
It sounds like you keep moving away from your phone or something, and we're losing some words.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Margie.
It's okay.
Just to sum up, all I'm trying to say is we need to develop a formula that establishes, you know, what kind of organization we will work with and under what circumstances. That's it.
Sure. And I think the bottom line would be that the Pacifica only partners partners with other not-for-profit organizations. In other words, non-commercial, don't go down the pathway with businesses and corporations. It would be my recommendation, but stick to, you know, there's a lot of money from arts organizations, performing arts organizations, foundations, people that, you know, Planned Parenthood. I mean, Planned Parenthood, you know, I wouldn't hesitate for a moment, but to get on the bandwagon to support Planned Parenthood against all of the bullshit that's going on with Republicans, and be very proud of Pacifica getting in, partnering with someone like Planned Parenthood. There are many other examples like that that fit right in my opinion, fit right in with the progressive orientation of Pacifica. My opinion, I just throw it out.
The business with
all of the the really across the board, every place you look, attacks from the right wing, from the Tea Party, and the Republicans. It just scares the crap out of me, and we should be fighting back.
Yeah,
my opinion.
Anyone else want to speak? I'm going to put myself on the stack. Otherwise.
No,
I'm sorry, Benito.
I support what Jan just said. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think I can't see how we can get in much trouble if we limit ourselves to progressive nonprofits. One question I do have for John, though, is, and this has to do with, it's going to take a lot of resources to have regular national news throughout the network. And I certainly like the idea that the kind of special events we're doing and the kind of using both of the underwriting, should choose to do it, and the special events to build relationships with these organizations, both locally and nationally.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a feeder into a national news service that was really about what's happening in the sort of progressive movements in the country, which is our natural audience.
Yep.
I guess I saw the special events as something we can do immediately in order to begin generating enough listenership to begin developing the longer term resources.
I agree. It's something that could be done literally. Well, we're doing the Million Man March in Washington coming up just in shortly. We're working with the PFW to put that on the air.
And is that going to be broadcast at all the stations?
Yep.
All right. And so one of the problems, and you alluded to it, and so certainly everybody's aware of it, is the resistance to being told what to put on the air. I think we need to simply put into the strategic plan that we intend to do that. We intend to have national programs.
That's absolutely the way to do it, you know.
The strength of Pacifica is, as I see it, is we can actually have a national influence by using the combined resources of the various stations together. I mean, I'm delighted to hear that we're actually going to do that.
And it's a wonderful beginning, George. The thing that frustrates and makes us all feel very sad. And we had this feeling, at the 11 o'clock meeting today, we talked about this, is we're going to do this. It's going to be a fantastic event to be broadcasting, but no one knows about it because, we have this chicken and egg situation with and you talked about the need for organized publicity, which is absolutely correct. But certainly the cheap and easy way to do it through social media, we're not doing, and we should be doing on a national basis for Pacifica as a Facebook and Twitter organization to be able to make sure that all of these things are being tweeted and put up on Facebook under Pacifica's logo, so people can see in the social media that we've got a broadcast of the Million Man March from Washington D.C. on such a certain date. Join Pacifica. That costs very, very little, and it reaches a lot of people. We should be doing it.
What do we need, John, to do that? Do we need some one person who's going to be basically paid to do it for the network and make sure that things go? Just spend his day putting that stuff.
My honest opinion about this is that is something that would be ideal for volunteers, preferably some younger kids. I mean, when I say kids, somebody that is absolutely, totally at ease and familiar with all of the intricacies of social media and, you know, believes in what Pacifica stands for, and says, and they say, heck yes, I'd love to, you come in and volunteer several hours each day to make sure this happens properly. I think that could, if we had three or four people like that who are dedicated to the Facebook page for Pacifica and handling, rooting all of the tweets throughout the internet, I think it would be fantastic. Probably done for very little, if no expense.
Sounds right to me. And they could be in contact with each other. They don't have to work independently. It's, you know, you can get online. You can be in touch with anybody anywhere.
Correct.
I wanted to ask just a couple more questions of John. Maybe
Adriana.
I've got you, Adriana. I wanted to finish what
no,
I was.
No, I want. It's a point of information, George.
Okay, what?
Thank you. Is any limit, because in 45 minutes, you cut me when I spoke less than 2 minutes, and everybody keep talking. Is any limits in time or?
I haven't put any on them. I didn't stop you until I thought that you and John had finished the conversation.
No, you did, and you said that you need to go to gym when I was speaking. It's exactly what you said.
I thought you were finished. Sorry. My apology. No, I'm not putting limits on the time.
I can't keep watching. Listening and being silent. I can do that. Thank you.
John, how much money is the NPR station in Houston actually making from this, really the endless commercials they're putting on the air?
I can tell you. When I left in 2011, December was my last month at KUHF, and the annual income from underwriting was about $1,200,000. Just from the underwriting.
Right. Well, and what fraction of that was nonprofits? Was those mostly corporations?
Actually, more than half of it was nonprofit, because Houston has a huge, huge arts community. So you had all of the Alley Theater, the Houston Symphony, Houston Grand Opera. The museums all did do underwriting on KUHF, and that's probably 53-54% of the underwriting revenue comes from nonprofits. The rest of it from corporations. And just for the information, the individual donations, in other words, listener memberships, amount to about the same amount. It's slightly more. It's about $1.3 million each year. So between the members and the 50%, it's about 50-50, 51-49% between listeners and underwriting income at KUHF. That's not atypical for the big market NPR stations. I mean, you know, Houston's the sixth radio market. It's soon going to be the third largest city in the country. So there's an enormous amount of money to be tapped. And KPFT could be doing that too, in theory. You know, mind you, I'm not saying to toss off all of the restrictions immediately, but that potential is there, as it certainly is in New York City and Washington, D.C., Los Angeles and San Francisco. My God, there's literally millions of dollars just in the nonprofit world waiting to be tapped.
And what kind of mechanisms did NPR, either when you were running it or afterwards, mm-hmm. in Houston, how did they reach out to these groups and actually get them to be interested and put their money up for underwriting?
We had dedicated development people. You call them salespeople, for lack of a better term, but that's a kind of a crass term. But basically, their full-time job was to be in contact with all of these organizations and say, you know, KUHF wants to partner with you. Here's what we're suggesting as a way to do that. And that's basically the way it works. But you have to have people who are that's all they do. Someone like in BAI, although it's not handled very effectively, but someone like Andrea Katz, who is there specifically just to do development work. but it's not handled very well, unfortunately. But that's but she's a rare example. There aren't too many people like that. She may be unique in the network as far as I know. But that's what you need. You need probably a minimum of two full-time people whose development job is to stay in contact, liaison with, and cultivate these organizations.
I have some more questions, but does anybody else want to speak?
I think Adriana.
Thank you. I'm happy listening to the master. Thank you.
Okay. Jim, did you want to speak, or Benito?
Yeah, I had just a follow up or something just to add to what John is talking about. The in D.C., for instance, there are a huge arts and humanities community that we could tap into that could act to us the same way that the organizations that he was just talking about were doing, and it's just a matter of us approaching them in the right way. And because the idea is, I don't think they have ever thought about that as far as our station is concerned.
Yeah,
in other words,
that's true.
We can give them a reason to come to Pacifica, to come to WPFW. And they have to have a reason to do that, and if we can do that by just approaching them in the right way.
Yeah, I totally agree. And to be very frank about it, there have been literally 4.5, almost 5 decades of the history of Pacifica as being very, very unfriendly to the concept. You know, it's part of the history and legacy of Pacifica to be completely independent and completely not quote unquote beholden to anybody except the listener members of Pacifica, and that's laudable. There's nothing wrong with that, except for the fact that it's four and a half decades after the fact, it's become impossible to sustain the level of activity we want to do on that model. It's literally impossible to raise enough money to meet all of the expenses. I mean, just WBAI by itself, with its needing to lease an antenna on something like the Empire State Building or Four Times Square, it's an enormous expense. And you multiply that around in these five very, very large cities where Pacifica exists, we're being squeezed by the expense of being, a 24-hour operation at these stations in these big cities. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. It's expensive, expensive, expensive to continue doing this. So we have to figure out, how do we pay for it? There's a limit to what we can cut. We can cut to the bone, and once you cut to the bone, then you lose your ability to produce the kind of programming that people want to tune into in enough numbers to support it. It's really a very, very difficult equation to balance. Very difficult. I wouldn't deny that for a second.
Benito?
Well, I think Adriana was first.
She said she was okay with listening. Hey, Gianna, do you want to speak?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, Benito.
Well, I just want to go back to the issue of national programming for a second. And, George said, I think we need to go out. We just need to have the board pass a resolution saying we're going to do it. And I agree with that. But again, the devil's in the details. I know years ago on the programming, National Programming Committee, George, was pushing that, and I supported it at first, but then I changed change my position, because what I saw is that Pacifica was acting in what I consider to be a very racist manner towards PFW in particular, you know, and so it's like we're supposed to do national programming, and the news directors from the, let's say during the election, for instance, and then the news directors from the various stations were supposed to work together on the national broadcast. But then when push comes shove on the guy, the day of the broadcast, we see that after Askia Mohammed busted his butt for weeks and weeks and weeks to create a show, which PFW was supposed to host, we see that he got pushed to the side and had 10 minutes. Well, not yeah. 10 minutes, but you know what I'm saying. And so I'm saying all this to say that I agree with George that we need the PMV to pass a resolution saying that we're going to do this in a limited manner, but we're going to do it. But at the same time, in order to make it credible, in order to get folks to participate and cooperate, then we have to put in there some sort of affirmative action kind of clauses, too, to make sure that it's even, you know.
If no one else wants to speak, I want to comment on Benito's remark. I actually had a conversation with Lona Elias, who I believe is a PFW as well, and she basically said the same thing, that in the past, when we've done national programming, a very few people got on the air and were hosting it and commentating on it and so on. And we sort of, this came up at the last meeting, and we basically didn't know what to do about that. With the structure we've got so far, basically the national program director, whoever he happens to be at the moment, or she happens to be at the moment, would choose from who's available and who wants to do it, who would do a particular event, who would be, you know, producing it. And that means that there's really nothing in place to prevent, even with the best of intentions, just going to the people that you trust the most. You know how these things work. And so I'm wondering if we could just think for a little while about what could we do to sort of put some structure in place so that really people throughout the network feel that this is an opportunity for them, that they, if they want to be of service here and participate and help produce a show that they're interested in doing, that they're not, they have a fair shot at it, that they're not limited by the prejudices of the people who are making the choices. So last time we didn't have any idea how to do that. I think it's a real problem. And anybody got any thoughts about it?
Well, I think that we just have to work on putting in the clauses to ensure that, and then, of course, develop some procedures. I don't know off the top of my head. I just know that folks are not going to cooperate if we're going to get treated equally. And, you know.
Yeah. Adriana, do you want to speak?
This is Margie wants to say something.
Margie, go ahead.
You know, I think it's complicated. And I think there needs to be a lot of conversation about this, because hosting a program that's being aired nationally means that you need to have someone who is a skilled, experienced radio person. You know, it's not a place to try out somebody who doesn't have, and maybe I'm misunderstanding the conversation,
no,
here, but that's sort of
right.
What I heard. And, you know, I don't know how to do it, except I know that at KPFA we have two sort of apprenticeship programs. We have something that's called the apprenticeship program, and then the news department has its own apprenticeship program, news interns apprentice, and maybe there needs to be some kind of national apprenticeship program. But I think we have to be very careful about the, I mean, if we produce well, I think it's a great idea, but, you know, I don't know if we've got the resources to do it, but, and I'll talk about one of the impediments that I see. But if we are able to produce national programs, they have to be good radio. It has to sound good. It can't be haphazard. And while I agree that I think maybe what we have to do is broaden the group of people who make decisions about who gets to do these programs. Although I will tell you that we did three national broadcasts during the time that I was interim executive director. The first big demonstration in D.C. after Ferguson. I can't remember. Now I'm drawing a blank on the other ones, but I think they were all related to Black Lives Matter. That's my thinking now, but I'm completely drawing a blank. And it wasn't easy to find people who, we weren't like beating down the door, you know, there weren't people beating down the door to do this job. We were struggling to find people who were willing to take on the responsibility, because it means, you know, not only do you have to host, you have to work with a producer who lines up people to be interviewed and are able to make political commentary during the course of the event, and you have to have people who are knowledgeable and are radio savvy, who can be part of the broadcast, particularly when you're broadcasting a demonstration. There's between, you know, interviewing people on the street, which is always a great idea, and then whatever's coming from the podium of the march, there are often big blanks, and you have to fill in those spaces, and you have to do it in a way that keeps the audience listening and doesn't drive people away. So I'm just saying, I think it's very complicated, and it's not something that can be solved easily. There needs to be a lot of discussion and thought put into it. The other thing I want to say is that we have some experience at KPFA. We do an evening news broadcast. I don't know if anyone here ever listens to it, but it's a shared broadcast with KPFK in Los Angeles, and there are from time to time people get upset. They think, you know, there's too much news from the north. There's too much news from the south. There's stuff that is unfamiliar, it's not easy to do. The other thing that you have to keep in mind is that when you're broadcasting something that's going to be carried on all the stations, then you have the additional complication of working in and figuring out what is appropriate in the time zones. We've covered different time zones. Some of the stuff that we did as national broadcast was a broadcast on a delayed basis in other time zones because it didn't feel appropriate to broadcast, like, you know, in the middle of the afternoon when it's evening on the East Coast. Anyway, I'm just saying, I love this idea, but I think it takes a lot of thought and a lot of careful planning.
Yep. This is Jim.
Go ahead, Jim.
Margie, thank you for saying that, because what we're saying, I think, is that whoever we get as the person to say, like a news director, it has to be someone who has a national understanding, who has it from the scope of national news and positive news and so forth that everyone would be able to listen to. That person has to be that kind of a person to choose those people who can, in fact, present the news or the information in a way that everyone can digest.
Mm-hmm.
It's critical, I think, to have that kind of expertise at the top who can make some decisions that's going to fly.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the ones that that people will buy into.
This is George again. Yeah, I mean, I think it wasn't a question of. I mean, what has to be clear first is that the people have the capacity to do it. But then the problem that I think Benito was raising and that Alona brought up with me separately was there were people at PFW who could have done it, but they didn't actually get to do it. So that kind of thing. And my sense is that best not to try to do this somehow with administratively, with rules and so on. Let's get into the process, and if it looks like that kind of thing is happening, we can call it at the time. As Benito says, you're not going to get a lot of cooperation from stations who feel as though they're somehow being excluded from these national events in terms of, you know, willingness to participate, whatever. So I certainly hear you, Margie, and I certainly agree that first and foremost we want these to be good radio. We want people to be glad they listen to them. I know that when I've raised this in the past with Dwayne, what he's brought up was a bad experience of basically having people, ranting from the podium and just going out raw on the air, and it didn't really work. Completely agree, and I guess my feeling is it's best to, you know, maybe write that intention, you know, that into the strategic plan. We intend that the, you know, people at all the stations get a shot at doing these things, and make that part of what we want to do, and then sort of see how it works out. Anybody else have any thoughts about that? Does that sound like a reasonable way to proceed around this particular issue?